want to build your faith? Do you desire to have a true encounter with God through His Word? Then listen to Logos Rhema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobing, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. He is a seasoned man of God and a teacher of the Word in its truth and simplicity. Make time with us each and every Monday to Friday at 2 p.m. on Spirit 88.3 FM as we encounter the Word of Truth. God richly bless you. And now, today's message.
Establishment through holiness. Amen.
Let's take our confession. Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate in it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosperous, and then I will have good success. Amen.
Amen. How we can be established through the practice of holiness. Amen. And our uncle's scripture is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and the verse 13. Can we go together? Let's read it together. May He strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all His holy hands. Amen. The subject of holiness, whenever you mention it in church or amongst believers, it has the tendency of causing many to get tense. And then we cringe back in fear, sometimes self-abhorrence. We just decide to close our hearts and our minds to it because we think that this one, as for this one theme and this one subject, as for me, I can't. Hallelujah. Why? Because sometimes we think that holiness is a cloak in your wardrobe. Now, when you are going to church, you go, you take it and you put on. And then when you come back from church, you go into your wardrobe and then remove it and then begin to live your life just anyhow. Amen. And this thing has, gone on for some time amongst, believers, and, it's like, I don't think that God meant it for us. As for God, He can remain and stay holy. But as for me and my fellow men, I don't think that this is for us. Amen. And so it's not a very popular subject. And even those who decide to embark on that road, they are antagonized. You want to walk on the pathway of holiness, you will suffer ridicule, you will suffer abuse, you will suffer hatred, you will suffer excommunication, even amongst the people of God. Amen. Even amongst the people of God. If you read through the scriptures, like I always say, just once again on the subject of Christian suffering and persecution, you realize that Christians or the believers, the Jesus movement, suffered a lot of persecution amongst religious leaders and religious folks. Amen. That's the painful thing about Christian suffering. Amen. It's the religious folk that you think that maybe, just maybe because they are religious, they would understand where you are coming from and embrace it and embrace you. Hallelujah. People who crucified was the Sanhedrin, the Jewish religious leaders who demanded that Jesus Christ be crucified. Hallelujah. And you want to embark on holy. I'm warning us, hallelujah, that it's a tough subject that we are doing this month, but it is not an impossible, hallelujah, virtue that we can't, amen, put on and demonstrate, hallelujah. But many people have, you know, as I said, cringe away from it because the very religious people whom maybe you thought that they would come and cheer you on and then also not leave you to go on a solo walk, but also come along, you know, so that you can cheer each other. Many of them, or many of us, just cringe back and say, well, it cannot be done. I'm not for this. I'm for the other things. Hallelujah. But it's sad because the Bible is so emphatic about the kind of God that we have come to. It is one of his key, if you like, virtues or descriptions of God, that God is a holy God. Amen. Amen. When we were out there in the world and had not given our lives to Jesus, I think one of the militating or limitations was the fact that I can't live this holy life. Amen. Because one way or the other, the community or our communities that we live in is saturated with the idea that God is a holy God. And this Christian faith is an invitation for a holy walk with God. Hallelujah. So how come that now that we have come and we have said we have renounced our ways, the ways of the world, the way that we used to live our life, we have renounced it and have drawn closer to God in faith. And now he says that, be holy, for I am holy. And then we turn away and say, no. So which one did we come? That's why I keep on saying that. The born-again experience, we have not understood it. And that's why we said it's our pet project. He must be born again. All of us must be born again. And what we are just saying is that let's get back to the foundations of our faith. Because you can't live out and practice a faith that is ill understood or not understood at all. You won't. Hallelujah. If we don't understand it, we don't take time, we don't take pains, we don't ask the right questions so we can understand what this calling is all about, we will not live it. Hallelujah. Amen. And we have been born again so that God would wean us, tease us out of an unrighteous and unholy lifestyle and embrace the new lifestyle that God has for us. Hallelujah. Remember in the Garden of Eden, and they were it. It took a holy God to create the entire universe. And Adam, our first parent, was a holy man. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, Adam just practiced holiness for 2 chapters. Amen. Hallelujah. Chapter 1, chapter 2. And like I said, even before his honeymoon was over, hallelujah, Satan had come in and unfortunately deceived the man, you know, to abandon the holy lifestyle that God had called him. And so we look at chapter 2, we read chapter 2. And what, okay, just chapter 1, once again, 26 to 28, very, very informative. Chapter 1, Genesis 1, 28, we are establishing the whole thing about holiness once again. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. And we are saying God is a holy God. Amen. Hallelujah. So when God said, we'll create the man, Adam, in our image to be like us, more or less God was saying, we'll create him like us. Amen. A holy being. Amen. Without error, without sin. Hallelujah. Fully trusting in the Lord. Obedient to the Lord. And then they will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Verse 27. So God created human beings in his own image. More or less, God created you and I as holy people. Hallelujah. There is an abhorrence, a dislike, hallelujah, for sin, for error, for disobedience, for non-compliance to the word of God. Hallelujah. That's what he's talking about. In the image of God, he created them, both male and female. So men and women, Adam and Eve, were created as holy beings. Amen. 28. Then God blessed them, hallelujah, and said, be fruitful and multiply, hallelujah. Fill the earth, govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground, hallelujah. And this, I think there are just three verses left, and that ends chapter 1. In chapter 2, Moses goes over again, just to get a little more detail as to how man was created, hallelujah. And then, if you like, in a way, set the scene and give us a peep of how the righteous, holy living on Adam, of Adam and Eve played out in the Garden of Eden. God, the Bible says, planted a garden, did everything to give security to the man that he had created, hallelujah. And the Bible says he placed him in the Garden of Eden and charged him to till the land and to work it out and to enjoy the fruit of his labors. God assigned him wages. Hallelujah. You can eat everything of all the trees that I have planted for you. It wasn't Adam that planted the Garden of Eden. God. And he said, these are your wages. Feel free. Eat everything. Except one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat it, because on the day you eat it, you will die. Hallelujah. Amen. Unfortunately, and we go to chapter 3, and there or here comes the devil. And like I always like to remind us, it's very important, you know, because the commandment that came was in specific regard of a tree that was called knowledge of good and evil. Hallelujah. So evil was in the garden. Hallelujah. There was an unholy being. The Bible later will let us understand his name is Satan. His name is Satan. Lucifer, an adversary of God. Hallelujah. Slipped in and then enticed the man and the woman to rebel against the righteous and holy commandments of God. And that is why God drove Adam out, hallelujah, of the Garden of Eden, and then he began to live his life outside. This is the story of the Bible, hallelujah, you know, about the genesis of evil in our world, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so when we talk about holiness, it is all about living the way God wants us to live. How are we going to do? We'll be guided by the word of God. So long as we allow the word of God to guide us, we can be sure that we'll be on track and be able to live righteous and holy lives. Amen. And so what I'm arguing here from this verse, if you like, narratives or the argument from these three, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, or the passages of the Old Testament, is that the holiness that God charges us to live, it is not an impossibility. Amen. Adam and Eve got to live it out. Hallelujah. Amen. And then subsequently, as we go through the passages of Genesis, indeed, and Moses makes us aware that even in Adam's household, one man called Abel was able to live righteous and pleasing lives. That's holiness. Living the way God wants us to live. Hallelujah. Being guided by the word of God. Hallelujah. And even in our generation and in our time, New Testament believers, like we keep on saying, the born-again experience. Number one, when you come to the place where you realize how loathsome you are, how sinful we are, how we see ourselves in the sight of God and the way we are so unlike Him. And yes, so He has invited us to just be like Him. Hallelujah. And we just muster the courage to go to Him. But then we must renounce sin. Hallelujah. And then once we have been reconciled with God, He can give us the power to guide us and to lead us on. Amen. Hallelujah. So that is where we are this we are going to be doing for this month. I'm just teasing the subject, and we have looked at that. Hallelujah. We have looked at the anchor scripture will be. Hallelujah. But then once again, as I want to, I like doing, I want us to just go back and begin to read from chapter 1. Hallelujah. Let's read some passages. Amen. Let's read some passages and then let's see how we can see where Paul is coming from. And then when we begin to go over, we'll be able to understand it all. Hallelujah. So let's go to, yes, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And Paul is talking to the church in Thessalonica. Hallelujah. Amen. And he says that this letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Hallelujah. We are writing to the church in Thessalonica, to you who belong to God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give you grace and peace. The church in Thessalonica was one of the churches that was founded by the Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. During his second missionary journey. We can find that in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 1 to 8. Hallelujah. I said a hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And Paul, after establishing the church, remember chapter 16 ends with Paul being driven out or persuaded to leave Philippi, where he had been thrown in jail together with Silas. Hallelujah. And then during that night when they were praying and worshiping God, just descended and then released them. And then they asked them to leave town. And then they passed through some two towns and then came to the city of Thessalonica. Hallelujah. And then they were there for three Sabbaths and then they established this church. Hallelujah. But however, after 3 weeks, the Jews who routed them out of Philippi came to town and caused the people to also once again, you know, attack Paul and his team. And then they had to leave to Berea. Hallelujah. And then at this, it was from there he left to Corinth. It's believed that he wrote this letter in Corinth, you know, just to find out how they were doing. Hallelujah. So as we are reading through, I just want us to just see the picture of daily living. Hallelujah. So that, like I said, we won't see holiness like a cloak that we put on when we want to be, you know, in our Christian best. Hallelujah. So we choose the days that we put on the garb of holiness, and then a season that we'll do that when we are coming to church, when we are going to a very respectable place where we believe that we should behave well. But then, you know, when we are free to do what we like doing, when we are alone and we can afford to be ourselves, then, you know, certain, should I use the word, unpalatable behaviors and things that contradicts the Bible just spring up within us, and then we find ourselves just saying, oh, this holiness thing doesn't belong to me. I can't do it. I am out of it. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's look at the practical daily living that we find ourselves in. So let's go on verse 2. So we know where the letter is coming from. Verse 2. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. I'm going to trust God to read through to chapter 3. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. Hallelujah. So we are seeing the Apostle Paul's practices. Very, very important. Amen. When you get born again and you have embarked on a holy, righteous living, thanksgiving, we have said it, and prayer must be a certain virtue and attitude that you must put up. You must simply be thankful and grateful to God for saving us, for saving you. Hallelujah. For taking you out, and let me put it this way, and making us candidates for the image of God to spring out again in our life. What we saw in Genesis, that God said, let us create man in our image. God did it, and he was pleased, he was satisfied. But that's what we said in chapter 3, that was mad. When man disobeyed God, so long as, remember we have said the born again is all about being like Jesus. So long as you and I keep it at the foremost of our minds that we want to be like Jesus, we will invariably be walking in holiness. Amen. And if you want to be like Jesus, you must simply be obedient to the word of God. And the word of God, besides that, let me come to this one because you can't do it without that. Hallelujah. The word of God has made you and I understand. And I just don't want you to even just dwell alone on the evidence of the word of God or the authority of the word alone. Because there is evidence that when you get born again and you are sincere and you want to live by the word of God, will facilitate that by coming to take residence in you by his Holy Spirit. So that it will be his life. He said when he comes, he will bring resources. Amen. He will bring teachings. He will bring the truth. He will bring the truth of this world to bear on your heart and on your mind. He will be whispering to you. Hallelujah. And he'll bring that. That's what we mean. The power, ability to do. Ability to walk in holiness. The Holy Spirit will bring all those graces to your life when you are sincerely born again. Hallelujah. And so, I don't know how long you have got born again. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But when we got born again, there was an appetite to live and to please God. There was an appetite for holiness. And that appetite for holiness, there is decadence attached to it. Hallelujah. Amen. That if you live your life on autopilot, it will decay. And you become unholy and unrighteous. So some of these things that Paul is talking about, the thing, the practices that he's doing, they act as counteractive. And rather, if you like, supply and pump in more of the graces that are needed to live righteous and holy lives. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's telling us how some of the things he does. I'm thankful to God. I cherish it. I treasure it. I am grateful to it for this born again experience that I'm a believer, that I've now been recreated in the image of God. And I don't keep silent about it when I stand before God and for men. Hallelujah. Born again, nobody knows you are born again. You can't walk in holiness. Amen. You won't be able to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. We always thank God for all of you. And we have said it to ourselves again. Prayer, you must pray. Amen. You must pray because one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is that he brings the appetite for prayer into our lives. And he helps us. The Bible says that Paul in Romans 8, he says, when we come to the place of prayer, we don't even know how to kickstart it. We don't know what to say. We don't have the words sufficient enough to tell God what is going on. But God says that, hold on, he has placed his Holy Spirit in us to help facilitate that. How? He says, through signs, through groanings. Amen. He alters all our needs to God, to help. If you don't want, like I keep them saying, you don't want to be born again, you won't be born again against your will. And after you are born again, you don't want to live a righteous and holy life. You won't be forced by the Holy Spirit to do. He'll always just be cheering, nudging you and encouraging you to do it. But you can't say because the Holy Spirit lives in me, he should take over and do the whole thing. You must cooperate. Hallelujah. Amen. By simple obedience. And doing the thing that he might say. So when you understand, when you come to the place of prayer, hallelujah. Amen. When you come to the place of prayer, maybe like the parable that Jesus told about those two men who went to the temple to pray, and one, the Pharisee, was saying, oh my, Keto Sahaya, God, you know me. When I lead the prayer meeting, my tongues per minute, malabaya, I get the whole place roaring, Mose cake krakataya. And then there was another one who was there, and he was just beating his chest and saying, God. He said he wouldn't even lift up his head to him. He said, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. The holiness thing. You see, because we are saved, like they say, we are being saved. And we'll be fully saved. Hallelujah. I don't know, but I know that some of the things that has left me, some of the unholy things that God, if you like, has shaved off my life. I had to go to God and say, I don't like this lifestyle. I don't like this me, this part of me. See the place of prayer? I don't like this insulting part. Lord, I don't like the profane me. When I hear profane songs, hallelujah. Amen. It is fought in the place of prayer with tears, with wrestlings. God, no, I don't like me. When I was not born again, I was cheating. I'm still born again. I'm cheating now. I don't think that's what your word says. Help! An all-round Christian character walking in holiness with the image of God. No battles, no. It won't just spring up. It comes with fights. It comes with battles. Lonely battles with God. Not the one that you passed up, no. Not the one that you come and stand here and then we say, oh, okay, now maybe at the end of this passage, I'm going to throw an altar call. All those who want to live holy lives, can I see? Everybody will lift their hands. Can come forward and then pastor will lay hands on you. No. Even after all that one has been done and you go back, that's when the wrestling will start. Alone before God. God, I don't like me. I don't like me. I don't like me.
This broadcast was proudly sponsored by the friends and partners of Harvest Chapel International Kumasi. Thank you for listening to Local Shema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobi. We believe that as you act on this word, God's power will transform your life. Join or visit us for our in-person family service at Harvest Chapel International Dinyami Kumasi, close to Micklin Hotel and on the Sunset Road, this and every Sunday at 7 a.m. for our tea service, 8:30 a.m. for our Bible study, and 9 a.m. for our English service. You can also join us this and every Wednesday for our amazing midweek teaching service at 6 p.m. and on Fridays for our prayer submission service, also at 6 p.m. Remember that all our services are streamed online at Harvest Chapel International Kumasi on our Facebook and YouTube pages. You can also listen to us at any time on our online radio station, Radio HCI Today, accessible via the Radio King and Zeno apps. You can download these apps on the Google Play Store and Apple Store. You are free to access all life-transforming sermons by Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobi via podcast by searching for Harvest Chapel International Kumasi on all podcast platforms. For prayer requests or any other inquiries, please contact us via SMS, voice call or WhatsApp on 055-124-5252. 055-124-5252. We look forward to seeing you at our next service. Until then, keep living for Jesus. God richly bless you.